said that there were a lot of songs that he did not, a lot of hymns that he did not sing. They were too, brought too much responsibility or possibly condemnation. Sitting there singing and then not heeding. I hope that's not true, dear soul, of any person here. Would God begin cutting out some of this undergrowth around all of us? Get us where we ought to be. It was such a lovely morning for me in the early hours, spiritually. As I was brought to think on that dear soul at the tomb on resurrection morning. Now you know I've never used holidays or special days ever to preach a selected sermon. In the early years, without any training in this, I thought I might need help. So I got a couple of sermon books of outlines. Well, they stayed around 2 or 3 weeks, and I threw them away. Thought I'm not going to fall into some trap of getting a message from following someone else's outline. So I just don't do it. But this morning was different, in that as I told you, I thought about her at that tomb. She had one desire. Just find out where they'd laid her Lord. I promise you this, when in your heart you get there, you're going to find him. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, could you tell me where you've carried him?" And he said, "Mary." And if he'll ever call your name, you'll recognize his voice. I'd like to continue on that. Lord, maybe even Wednesday night. That's not the message for this morning. But it was just such a lovely time in my own soul sitting there 2,000 years ago. That's where I was. And Mary didn't see me because I was just standing off in the background. But I saw her. I saw a troubled soul, an anxious, desiring soul. And then I heard the words of our Lord, "Mary, my, what light must have shone in her heart, and how it had to leap, bounce all around in there." You ever heard him?
Oh,
call your name? And I hate this stupid, arrogant thinking of our day. They would say, well, you don't want to get that personal with folks. And you ought to just accept everybody. You go fiddle and play that tune somewhere else, because I'm not buying it. If I accept everybody, then I stand for nothing. Neither do you. Not one thing. Nothing. If you can get along with everybody, you've got nothing within your own heart. Well, y'all just embrace everybody as they are. Well, you go take that matter up with our Lord. But look at how many He didn't embrace. Ye hypocrites, ye Pharisees, woe unto you. So yes, you need a personal word in your soul from the Lord. Not many in our day. Well, all that's free. Not going to charge you a thing for it. Some of you are going to pass it off. Well, that's just his opinion. My opinion's as good as his. If you base your opinion upon the Word of God, you and I can sit down and discuss things. But if this book is not the basis of all your arguments, you're not going to get 5 minutes of my time. Call me ugly or whatever. Because I know that I couldn't tell you anything, and I know that you couldn't tell me anything, and I sadly would walk away, leaving you to deal, hopefully one day, with the Lord. Luke 20. I'll quit giving away all this that I don't charge you for. And hopefully, and I don't mean this statement to be funny, and hopefully give you that for which you so generously help take care of my physical needs. Supply to you in the spiritual that which you help supply to me in the physical. Luke chapter number 20. Begin reading with verse number 35 down through 38. Speaking entirely on the last phrase of verse number 36. But before we get there, would you bow with me as we seek our Father's face? Our Father, we would quiet our hearts, we would still our minds now, if not already have been done. And from our hearts, we would to Thee honor by giving thanks that in mercy and grace you've brought us, are bringing us to know Thee, and that you are working in our hearts such a love, appreciation, and adoration, thankfulness of the Lord Jesus, and for Thy Spirit taking the things of Christ, making them real unto us. And now, Father, for these who sit here, I pray that you might help, even if already agitated at the preacher's words so far, I pray you'd calm that soul. Let them hear thy voice. Bring us, my Father, to personal dealings and relationship with Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Luke 20:35, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, accounted worthy. And to obtain, I'm adding this, the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. They'll be wed to Christ eternally. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels in many aspects, and yet are raised higher and excel in greater knowledge personally of the Lord Jesus than angels. Now you think that's not possible, but an angel was never a sinner, and they don't know the depth from which God is bringing you. And they don't know the warfare that you go through day after day for your own self. So in that aspect, the children of God reach a height beyond that of the angels in knowing Christ Jesus. They're equal unto the angels, Jesus said, and are the children of God. Now here's the text. They are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That must mean that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still living. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all the children of the resurrection live unto him. The folk, more than any other Lord's day, crowds will gather on this day to do what many would say is honor, and I put that in quotation marks, honor and event. while all the time that event that they go out to celebrate holds no place and has no effect in their heart. And many will go out because a lot of churches, religious places, will have different programs to get a larger crowd, and they'll entertain. So a lot of folk that would never dart in the doors of a house of God will go out to watch their little prides and joys perform on a stage. I suspect that in your mind, some of you parents with younger children battle constantly, or at least occasionally, the fact that there's nothing there for the young folks. I'm sure that the devil has brought that to your mind. No one here has said anything to me. Don't know a thing about it, but just knowing the devil's, some of his, we're not ignorant of his devices. That he's already told some of you, your children need to be where they can be more involved. I hope you won't fall for that line. Involved in what? Accomplishing what? Learning what? But the only one not honored in these places that fix all these events together in parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and everybody that they can, the only one that is not honored in these events is the Lord who arose from the grave. Everybody else, their attention is focused on the little boy and the little girl and how well they do, and the beauty of them in your eyes standing up there all dressed up. And we miss the Lord that gave them to you. Don't you think for a moment that they are here based on the science? That's not so. Children are an heritage from the Lord. You could have aborted them a month, 6 months, 9 months. They could have been born, could have been stillborn. They're here because God gave them to you. And then God places on you the responsibility of training them up and educating them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We're back to the text here. I'm rambling a little bit. All this I didn't come to tell you, but I did. The days of our history, just go no further back than our own country, has throughout time had those days, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, the day after December the 7th, speaking of December the 7th, this day will live in infamy. It'll forever be in the history books as to what Japan did to so many lives. 9/11, which is a more current event for all of you here, will forever hold a memory of those falling towers destroying so many lives. We celebrate certain days. Easter, Christmas, first day of a new year, the last day of the year, partying. The day of independence, we just on and on and on, we've got days set aside. And so, religion has set aside, quote unquote, Easter Sunday, and how the bunny rabbit got in that, and chocolate, and all that, I don't know. But that's not a date in your Bible of when Christ rose, other than this, the Lord's Day. And being the children of God, that day will live in infamy in your heart, because not only did Christ rise that day, God brought you to a resurrection. You are a child of the resurrection. No date. We just on our calendars have said it'll be the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. If it was a date on the calendar, every year it'd be a different day of the week. And if it was a date in the Bible, April 1st or the 7th or 8th or whenever, or March the 21st, whenever, we'd all celebrate that day. But God said, I'm not going to have you celebrating a day. A day. And I'm going to give you every Sunday. I'm going to give you every Sunday to bring to your mind the resurrection. That's when your Lord arose. And that day becomes important to the children, because His resurrection had a direct effect upon our life when God quickened us. You had He quickened, made alive. You who were dead in trespasses and sin, God made you alive. And Ephesians 1, Paul writes about the exceeding greatness of His power unto us, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Every child experiences the power of God operative in raising Christ from the grave when God resurrects you into a new walk, a new realm, a different life. That day becomes very important to you. Now, if you are as me, having trouble pinpointing on the calendar a day when God saved you, then at least you can be thankful this day that you seemingly have life and the desire to seek after and follow the Lord. But folk, a historical fact, it has no life. December the 7th, September the 11th, December the 25th, and no life in these as days, be it the history book or be it the Word of God. Now here's where I want you to stop a minute. One of the dangers in being told so many times the same things is your familiarity with Scripture. And you become satisfied in reading or audibly hearing a message, but you've lost the spirituality of the Word. You've just settled down to reading and audibly hearing because you know it all. I can't tell you anything that you don't know. Not that's essential to eternal life and of God, of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, and you've heard the sound of my voice so long that it has deafened you. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." What if a tornado was headed in our direction on the same day and would hit near your house the same day and the same hour and the same minute that the alarms in Randolph County go off once a month? First Wednesday of every month, I think. Now, what if a tornado was coming? You wouldn't distinguish between the normal monthly testing of the sound system throughout the county and that nothing to that. You hear it every month. And yet, that day, it wasn't a test. It was telling us a tornado is about to touch down where you live. But see, we hear it over and over till it just deafens us. You ever heard a loud sound for a few minutes? And afterwards your ears ring for some time. You can't hear anything. That's about where we are, dear children. Just get honest with yourself now. That's about where all of us are. But now, being children, the resurrection brings us into an eternal day. Neither, verse 36, can they die any more. Now, there's nobody that's going to escape death. Nobody. Matter of fact, death is the only qualification for a resurrection. Only dead folk qualify to be resurrected. Until you find yourself dead in sin and trespasses, you'll never experience a resurrection. Never. Now, I made this statement, no one shall escape death, and your mind probably already has gone back to Enoch and Elijah, that God took them from this world without passing through physical death. Or it may have gone into the future where Paul said, we, 1 Thessalonians 4, that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those which are asleep. So there's going to be a group out yonder somewhere, whether it's your generation or not, we do not know. They shall be caught up with the Lord in the air to ever be with the Lord. But if that is in your generation, there will be something outward that will affect you as drastically as going down into the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to die. I mean, that's just a fact of life. All the children are going to die. Jesus said they can't die anymore. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Not a date, not a certain day in a certain month. It's not an event. It's Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And folk, that dead's not talking about dead folk physically in the cemetery. That's talking about dead folk sitting on a pew. That's talking about dead folk sitting on the bank of the waters, and Christ out in the middle sitting in a boat. That dead. But listen to verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Every time that the child of God going into eternity is referenced in Scripture, it's always spoken of as asleep. You shall not die. You just lay down. And when you wake from that little moment of sleep, you'll be on the other side. Dear soul, I would God grip us with that fact. And have an angel sitting close to you, whack you across the head and say, that's you. You're going to die. But he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, our text, being the children of the resurrection. Sometimes the word being is a noun. That being over there. And I suppose that no. It is a present tense verb here. He is being rude. That's not a noun. that's a verb that is always, will always be active unless there is a change. We are being the children of the resurrection. That means that I have not yet arrived to that completed state of which the resurrection in its final, in its finality, will bring all the children. Right now I'm being a child. Now I'll always be a child of God. Right now I'm being a child of the resurrection, but that's going to end, and I will have been raised into the very essence of the glory of God. When you speak of people, you say, He is the Son of, and they name His parents. But let's take a young lady. She was a Franklin, but now she is a Smith. Changed. Is. Was. You speak of adults and you say they were the children or the child of such a mom and dad, of such a family. But there's just something about it when they reach adulthood and their personality and their personality and their identity has developed, then they're not known as the child of. They were. No, they are now known as who they are, recognized by their own identity. Not who they were, but who they have become. Jokingly, someone would call me Mr. Holloway, and I said, that was my dad. My name's Barrett. Not yet arrived to that Mr. But they becoming their own person with their own identity. But it's not so with a child. They are your children. My identity, born with, is being subdued, being the children of the resurrection. And being the children of the resurrection, there's a new identity being formed in us. When your children came into the world, they had 23 pair of chromosomes in each cell. And those chromosomes contained DNA that determined who they are, their traits, their characteristics. And 22 of those sets are the same in male and female, and only the 23rd is different. But you gave them those genes. And the little one with the temper, he got it. So you are in the place of authority to see that that is subdued. And when we were born, as a child of God, We receive from our Father DNA. Now, turn with me to Romans 8:15, and I'll ask you to look at a couple of three other verses, and then I'll quickly close. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. When you were born, first time, chromosomes from parents, DNA. When you were born again, chromosomes from God Himself. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Being the children of the resurrection, we have the Spirit of God dwelling within. And the genes of our Heavenly Father. Listen to the words of Paul. Little children, of whom I travail in birth again. I don't know what he's talking about. Until Christ be formed in you. And the Holy Ghost, that angel said to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee is because the Holy Ghost has come upon you in the power of the highest. If you are a child of God, in your heart, Jesus Christ is being formed. You don't go out to celebrate an event. We come out to honor a person who he himself is the resurrection. And you, being the children of the resurrection, God has in your heart given the Spirit of God, so you say, my Father. And Jesus Christ is being formed in you. How far have we gotten from biblical Christianity to where we are this day? Paul to the Romans, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. That same Spirit's in you. You don't want to do wrong. You don't want to think wrong thought. You don't want to speak wrong words. Because from death, you were raised by the power of the resurrection, raised from the dead, and now there is the Spirit of holiness within you. There is that of God. I wish you'd get this. That of God within every believer that's called the life of God in your very soul. And the faith, if you have saving faith, it is the faith of Christ. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. and the operations of the Spirit of God from birth to passing into that stay of a few moments of sleep, landing on the other shore, the Holy Spirit that directs all the children to act in a certain way. I'll just one last. John 5:29. Well, verse 28. Marvel not at this, John 5:28, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Going to be a reunion between soul and physical body. For Jesus Christ died for your soul. If all he died for was your body, all he had to do was just suffer a physical death. But he said, his soul was in anguish. God, seeing the travail of his soul, was satisfied. Jesus Christ died for your soul. Now, also your body, and there's a union between them, physical body and a soul that no one can explain. And that'll be part of dying, is a separation of that which has been you forever, how many years you live. But all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. We are already in the resurrection. We are children of the resurrection, but it is not yet complete. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, you're not going to enter into life because you did good, but you do good because of a birth. And you do evil because you missed out on the second birth. So all the children of the resurrection will, in that completed and final state of the resurrection, they will come forth with this: you did good, my child, my son, my daughter. Now, because of his faith within, we walk by that faith and not sight. His faith. God given. You didn't have it. You couldn't call it into operation. You couldn't decide one day that you'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not savingly. You could in your head, but that won't get you anywhere. You've got to have the faith of God implanted in your soul so that you become a child of the resurrection. And you will always, I don't know if it's correct English or not, but this is right. You will always be being a child of the resurrection until it is final. Now, folk, your walk in this world, you suffer a lot of heavy trials and a lot of necessities and perplexities and heartaches and seemingly impossibilities. But being children of the resurrection, at times his faith, your faith, one and the same now, operative, lifts you above all these. When Christ was headed into an eternal darkness, you said didn't last for 3 hours. When Christ was headed into an eternal darkness, because everybody's not in him, will be in eternal darkness. If you have eternal life, you dwell in eternal light, it'll be because he dwelt in eternal darkness to pay for, buy you from that. When Christ was headed into that state of eternal darkness, the only thing that supported him was on that cross, faith became operative in its fullest. Just believing his Father's words, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Several years back, I was in the plane taking off from Philadelphia to where it was dark, it was rainy, cold. Do you know what took place 10 minutes after takeoff? That cloud was below me, and I was in the sunshine, the fullness, the brightness of the sun shining in its strength. That's because I got above the earth. If you sit looking at difficult situations, the dark days, the rainy days, the cloudy days, the perplexities within, these things are just going to overcome you. Maybe even to the point of questioning God or complaining or arguing with God. Just take off. Being children of the resurrection, you're not earth dwellers. Let's get your mind in the heavenlies. And love and quiet submission is the heart of the children of God when everything's calm and right. Sometimes your children don't understand why you demand of them what you do, why you make them do, why you won't let them do. You're mean. You're not a good mom. You're not a good dad. You this, that, and the other. I'm sure all of you have heard it. And they won't appreciate it till they got a little one walking by their side that they got to be quote unquote mean. Demanding. But don't we get like that sometimes as children? Don't know why God did that to me. Don't know why I got to live in this condition. Well, quit looking at things around, even things within. And look solely into the heart of your Father. He's kind. He's good. He's loving. If he takes a rod out, there's a heart of love greater than you'll ever know that holds the hand that holds a rod. Get off the runway, children. Beloved, now we the sons of God, 1 John 3. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, right now we're just being the children of the resurrection. But all that are being shall be in that completed, resurrected state. But if you are not being raised from time to time from this walk of life, it's because You've never been raised from death. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's the final completed change. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Christ looking into the face of Peter, he said, but thou shalt be called Cephas. Not yet, Simon. You're still exhibiting the characteristics of your father, his DNA. One day you're going to act like my child. And if God has raised you, and you are being the children of the resurrection, you're going to act like a child of God. He may have to break both legs, lay you up in the hospital bed with feeding tubes. But he'll do it. God's not going to have stubborn, rebellious children. He's just not going to do it. Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Don't you exhibit too much the genes inherited from Adam, don't you? When you ought to be reflecting the life of God in your soul.